KFNC.
Mont Belvieu, Houston.
ESPN 97.5. A Gao Media Station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel and Barry, till 4 o'clock at Saltgrass Steakhouse here in Sugarland. It's the 59 Feeder Road right before Highway 99 in Sugarland. Great lunch that we just consumed and dinner specials on the way from 4 to 6. Stop in, see us. We're here till 4. We talked about the Texans. We talked about the Rockets. We had Quinton Demps on for an hour, which was fantastic, enlightening. He gave us some great stuff. And as we reset the show, you know, just kind of running the gamut, looking at sports and otherwise, and you and I haven't a chance to catch up on this either, but this U of H thing is interesting to me with the initial announcement saying Kiffin was going to get the job.
Yeah.
Then they pick Major Applewhite. Well, I'll tell you what, the money that's being floated out there that he only signed for 1.3 or 1.5 based on what Herman was getting and what all the money was out there, there might be more to that Texas story and a lot of things that, hey, he's just happy to be there and get a chance to be a first-time head coach and took what they were giving him. But at the same time, this Kiffin thing is weird to me because it seems like maybe it was him and his agent that put it out there that he was the leading candidate because – to me, taking the Florida Atlantic job, now Travis said, well, it's a great job because it's Florida and all the recruits are down there and he's a great recruiter and it's going to help pay off. I just don't see that, man. What it told me was he was never the leading candidate at Houston because if you had the choice between Houston and Florida Atlantic, it's a no-brainer. But secondly, and most importantly, it seems like to your point, whether they said it publicly they weren't going to renew his contract or not, Saban had basically moved on. And the one thing that he wanted to prevent Kiffin from not getting a head job and becoming the offensive coordinator at LSU, where you have to worry about him because he's in the SEC, but you're going to have to play him every year, and that could be a problem.
Yeah, I think I read that his contract was up at the end of the year and Alabama wasn't going to renew it. So they were looking, and I think that's what you said was partially true. They would, Nick Saban is no dummy. He would much rather see this kid go get a head coaching job somewhere else than having to face him at LSU and see what goes down there. And I think Kiffin wanted another opportunity to coach again. In regards to what happened at U of H, I really think, and again, I've not talked to anyone from the school. I don't have any inside track. But from the outside looking in and seeing the way that it went down and how important that buyout number was to the college, to U of H, and how they didn't want to be considered a stepping stone
if
school.
If that clause and how, was a so, number that was really big to get out.
Well, it was big. And so I think that, to me, is what the difference was between Lane Kiffin and Major Applewhite, is Kiffin would have never accepted a buyout clause like that because he's a stepping stone guy.
Yep.
He wants to move from what – so this was literally, hey, if something comes along, I'm taking it, and if you guys are trying to prevent that, then I can't coach for you. And I think Applewhite was more than happy to take that. It's a first head coach job at probably, you know, one of the better universities. It's not a power
better
five
than a lot
school.
Of power fives that are middle and low. I would
so
say,
why pass that up? And if they're offering you a little less, if they're lowballing, you take
earn it.
Yeah.
And if you earn your keep and you play the way Tom Herman got him to play,
yep,
then you'll be rewarded, as Tillman Fertitta has shown. I think you're right. I think the buyout number was big, but I liken this process to the process of having the number one overall pick in the draft and having your choice of Reggie Bush, Mario Williams, and others, and going, okay, I'm going to negotiate with all three. I got a number in my head, or I got a clause in this contract, and the guy that's the most receptive to it is the guy that's probably going to fit the bill for us better than most. Because, and it's a good time to promote your shirts, too, because you don't want to become or continue to be Stepping Stone University. But at the same time, was there ever a doubt when you talk about Lane Kiffin that that's exactly what he was going to use it to be? Whereas a guy like Applewhite, a Texas guy, Texas roots, Texas known, succeeded on the field in Texas, seems like he's a guy that could make this home.
Yeah, and I think that U of H, whether by plan or not, did the right thing and got the right coach. I didn't like Kiffin at U of H. I think he would have treated it, like I said, like a stepping stone, like everyone assumes he would, based off of his – plus, he came with a lot of baggage as well. I mean, I know Applewhite had the issue with the student or trainer at UT.
Yep.
But, you know, Kiffin wasn't clean either, and I think Applewhite, he's married now. He's, you know, there's that whole, you can forgive a guy that makes a mistake, but if you make a bunch of mistakes and you just have this aura about you that's followed you everywhere you've gone, all the issues that Kiffin had with the Raiders, it's one of those things where I think they got lucky if he turned them down. But I think all along, you know, for Tita, having his hand in this was probably the best thing for this school. Because he's a businessman and he's an expert negotiator, and I think he knew that he could, you know, if they got Kiffin, they got an experienced head coach, but if they got Applewhite, they got a guy who they could kind of mold, who came up in the mold of Tom Herman and others, Nick Saban. He's been around big programs, and they could get this buyout clause in place.
Well,
and once it's in place, that's that first brick to overcoming stepping stone. You
got a guy, as we like to quote. The coaching tree. You still got a guy under the Tom Herman tree, right?
Yeah.
And to your point about Tillman, it's dead on the fact that he's given a little bit of a swagger with his backing of the program to everybody. Do you see the president's comments at University of Houston yesterday when talking about the coaching hires? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, what happens if, you know, the next coach becomes another stepping stone? She goes, you better be careful what you wish for, because I'm pretty sure it hasn't worked out the way Sumlin liked it at A&M. And by the way, look at Art Briles at Baylor. So she was quick to fly off the handle on that, and she also said 8-4 is not good enough. Those are where we fire coaches. 10-2 is what we expect at worst. So there's a little confidence flying around down there in the H-Town takeover, and I think some of that comes from Tillman Fertitta and the fact that he's backing this program, and he's saying we're not going to be peons and stepping stones anymore. We're going to be a destination school that someone's going to want to not only get the job but keep it.
You know, what's the old saying? Wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which one fills up first. I think, unfortunately, the fact that they're not a Power 5
long
school,
term, that's still got to be the, yeah.
Unless you are in, you know, a Power 5 conference, you can put all of these clauses in place and these buyouts and everything else, but the fact of the matter is U of H will continue to be a stepping stone university until they are taken serious as a Power 5 school. And it sucks, and I don't like it. But that's the facts. I mean, you can do all these other things, but it's never going to be a destination school, as much as that sucks. Do we have
Nick? You said you got a caller. Yeah.
No, he's gone, so no caller.
Well, there you go, Nick. You're such a tease. You set us up, and then you yank it right out from under us. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me just simply because, look, I love what Tom Herman's been able to do. I love the success of the Cinderella story underdog program that U of H has become. But you can only run that course for so long. And as much as they now, in retrospect, think that the Big 12 was all this just big fiasco to try and get people to wine and dine, to wine and dine the Big 12, but they were never going to make the choice, and U of H would never have gotten in because other coaches are worried about recruiting. When you got a school in the hotbed that Houston is for high school talent, and then you got a team right in your backyard in a Power 5. I don't know, but the end result is they have to sooner rather than later find their way into a Big 5 conference in order to maintain this.
Yeah, I think that's literally the only thing that's going to, short of winning a national title, that is going to be the only thing that puts a stop to the Stepping Stone University. And you mentioned the shirt. You know, we made the shirt as a joke, but also as a way to just kind of own it. It's like AJ said 2 weeks ago on the Blitz, where he said, so what if you're a Stepping Stone? If you're winning 10 games a year, who cares? And I would agree. I mean, own that stepping stone. You, as long as the success is there, everything else doesn't matter.
Yeah, for sure. So if you want to chime in on U of H situation or anything else, give us a call, 713-780-ESPN. Text us or call us on that number. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Let's fade into the sun. Let's just do it
fly. ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I always appreciate when our voice guy can get a quick one done for us, since we found out last night we were going to be at Saltgrass today, and unless they saved it from the last time. But that's a nice little...
Yeah, it's always...
I like that. Production value.
It gives it that little touch of professionalism.
Yeah, which we're lacking. And in our hustle and flow of the daily grind, before we get to the text messages, I want to throw something else out to you. that you might chuckle at a little bit. And I think more so than anything else, you'll chuckle at a second career that's mentioned in this story. There's a new book out by a guy named Michael Lewis, kind of looks at the NBA. There's an excerpt about Daryl Morey and his attempts to rationalize the entire NBA draft process. Part of that effort, Morey and the Rockets built this statistical model. I know it sounds crazy to you. You've never heard anything about analytics, right? It told us that the first year was 2007, 2008. That year, then, in 2008 in the draft, the Rockets had the 25th pick. They used it to take Joey Dorsey. In his job interview, Dorsey had been funny, likable, charming. He said when he was done playing basketball, he intended to explore a second career as a porn star.
Oh.
I'm here to tell you,
no.
He wasn't kidding.
What?
He talked about it all the time. But I think from the standpoint of Daryl, they just found that to be more humorous than anything else. So they took him. After he was drafted, they sent Dorsey to Santa Cruz to play in an exhibition game against other newly drafted players. He went to go see him, and the first thing that he saw was Dorsey looking terrible, and his quote was, F, with lots of exclamation marks. So he thought he wasn't taking the exhibition season seriously, sat down with Dorsey, two-hour lunch. Morey gives Dorsey a talking to and the importance of playing with intensity, making a good impression. And he thinks he's coming out with his hair on fire. He is going to blow the doors off the competition. And he comes out and he sucks again. And fairly quickly, Morey saw he had a bigger problem than Joey Dorsey. The problem was his model. Joey Dorsey was a model superstar, but the model said he was like a can't miss. His signal was super, super high. And yet we all know what happened with Joey Dorsey. And then the other tidbit from the book that Daryl has mentioned in is he passed on Mark Gasol with the 48th pick in the draft.
Ugh.
Because they had given him the nickname Man Boobs, and they referred to it Man Boobs this, Man Boobs that. He said it was his first draft in charge, and he wasn't very brave. He allowed the general ridicule of Mark Gasol's Man Boobs to draw out the optimism about his basketball future, and they passed on him.
Eesh.
Gasol, an all-star in 2012-2015, and by Houston's reckoning, the third best pick made the entire draft after Durant and Blake Griffin. The label they'd stuck on him clearly had affected how they valued him, and he decided right there, no more nicknames. So, moral of the story, when you come in talking like you want to be a porn star and or you have man boobs, Rockets aren't taking you.
So, is this in a book that Maury's that's out? Or
yeah, there's a book out that is by the author's name is Michael Lewis, and he's got two different excerpts because it's a Memphis-based writer, so they talk about Joey Dorsey because he's from Memphis,
yeah.
And obviously Marc Gasol, the center for the Grizzlies.
Okay.
So
so it's not about Morey.
No, it's essentially about just NBA in general.
Okay.
But there's an entire article by Michael Lewis as well about basketball's nerd king, Daryl Morey.
I didn't get to make the point when we were talking earlier about Demo, but I wanted to because you asked the question, does this affect how teams look at the Rockets?
Mm-hmm.
And the only point that I wanted to make about that was, you know, Daryl Morey has been Daryl Morey has been treating players like assets for years, and this is really no different.
That's right.
And so I don't know that it doesn't change it because it's never been great to begin with.
Even the players know that.
Yeah.
But he's adamant in interviews at saying, I don't like the term assets. I don't want to use that because I don't look at him that way.
Well, it's just because it makes him look bad and he knows it.
Yeah, you can't look at it any
the
other
facts
way.
Facts are, he
the
does.
Demo thing comes down to just bare bones of it. If he goes to the Nets, he's going to play and play a lot because they suck.
Yeah.
And he's going to easily attain $6 million in extra incentives, $6 million in his pocket. Demo says, if you're going to match the offer, I want that money back. They say, one, if you're on our roster on March 1st of this year, the second year of the contract's guaranteed. They don't like that because they don't like to be tied down with possible hindering the salary cap in years to come. And then two, once you sign the deal, you can't be traded or moved for a year. Mm-hmm. They wanted that to be 90 days, so he's still eligible to be traded so that in a trade, when they need to throw in a piece or they need that extra cap room,
yep,
they can move him this year.
Yep.
Those are the kind of things that tell you they're assets. The players know
but,
it.
But so what? I mean, if that's the best
well,
thing
it's a
for
business,
this franchise
right? –
Absolutely, because you know what? When Demo becomes a free agent, he's making moves, he's making decisions that are the best for him. And so you can't fault the Rockets for making decisions or negotiating from a standpoint of what's best for this team. And if it means that Nemo gets a contract that's team-friendly, that allows them to dump him in 90 days if they want to in a trade that makes the team better, hey, sorry, dude, that's how this works. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think it's just who had the upper hand. They had the right to match, which they used, and they utilized it to their advantage by saying, there are things we want because of the way we do business, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what you can say to the player is, we all know it's a business, but as long as you're getting your money regardless, you just got to, you know. And I think, look, all along, Demo's a younger guy, and he was still not over the fact that he was traded when they told him they weren't going to trade him
problem.
Last year.
That's the big deal in all of this is his feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
Anytime you get feelings involved in anything business-related, it becomes a mess. And let's be honest, the fact of the matter is that this is all an issue because Demo got his feelings hurt.
Yeah, he never
or wanted, he would have went for that physical.
Yeah, he never wanted to. Well, he's saying he didn't go to the physical because he wanted to make sure he recouped that $6 million.
Man, and they would have found out he had broken feelings. That's the problem.
Yeah,
truth be told, that a lot of this, most of this, revolves around the fact he got upset because they wanted to trade him, and he's young, you know, and that is the difference, like you said. If Demo's a 10-year vet, he's not worried about that. He knows that that's the business, that's the game, that's how all this works. But he's a young cat, man. I mean, I can't blame him. It would hurt my feelings, I'm sure. But you got to get over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where I think the key is for any player. And you can talk to Quentin Demps for the road that he took to making it into professional sports. For the guys that have been fighting through just chances to get tryouts to try and get on a roster, the main thing is get me guaranteed money that I am not going to lose and I can't lose because it's there, and I'll take the rest. And once you get comfortable, or because you've been a high draft pick and you've had certain things said a certain way, you have a tendency to have your feelings hurt quicker. You're not as tough mentally. There's some things that you got to get over. And I think that's the stalemate in the road right now because Demo would love an opportunity to get a fresh start to play anywhere else. And unfortunately, he can't get that because his rights are still controlled by the Rockets. That's where this all comes down to. Where it ends, I don't know. I appreciate him coming to me to kind of want to break this thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
He will. He said he's going to join us on the show when it all kind of shakes out, which will be great because maybe we'll get some more answers. Because to this point, we can only say so much because we don't want to put him in a situation where he's made his situation even harder to move on from. But it's a shame for the Rockets because right now you're at a standstill with a guy that either could help you or be an asset to help you in another way.
Yeah. So, sucks.
Fair enough. We got that covered as well. So we've got about a half hour left in the show. We want you to join the show. Talk about what you want to talk about. We've got some other things on the agenda, but we're always ready to shift gears if there's something on your mind. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel and Barry till 4. Nick Shirara back at the studio holding down the home base and behind the glass with a cast of thousands helping us out here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugar Land, where we're here till 4 o'clock. We were here for the lunch hour. They're getting ready for the dinner crowd. The 4 to 6 early dinner crowd is great. You get great deals on a lot of great food items. You beat the dinner crowd. You get in, get it out on a school night. Can't beat it. Check out your local Saltgrass Steakhouse here in Houston. So that was interesting, Barry, and it was your question. It was great. The Quentin Demps response to Charles James being cut and not being a scapegoat, I thought, was must-hear audio for Texans fans because a lot of people right from the get-go said, oh, that was one guy taking the blame for a whole bunch of things that could have gone wrong. But he basically made it sound like it was expected.
Well, he made it sound like,
no surprise, right?
Yeah, no surprise for sure, and it wasn't just a knee-jerk reaction, which is good to know. I mean, when you see something like that, all you can really do is draw a conclusion and say, well, the kid fell down. It was a big touchdown to Jordy Nelson that he gave up because of it. He's cut the next day. And they even said, well, you know, we've got to make those plays. We can't, you know. The fact of the matter is, if there was more to it, it's good that this coaching staff isn't out there making knee-jerk reactions. And it's one less thing you have to worry about from them. Not that I think they would, but that's what it seemed like. That's what it appeared
it
to be.
It could have been that he's...
So it's great to get that validation that it wasn't. It
could also been that even from the guys in the locker room's perspective, it was more of a distraction and a sideshow that they didn't need heading down the stretch in an NFL season. From the Sox to selling the socks and the hats in the team store to the quote machine when Bill O'Brien clearly doesn't like his guys saying too much. I think it's all fun and games when you're winning or you're on Hard Knocks. I think it's different when you're heading down the stretch in a very tough NFL season.
Yeah.
That might weigh into – and look, there's plenty of people out there that are special teams aficionados, including some that we work with, that were quick to point out to me, if you watch his special teams play, which is supposed to be what he's good at for all of us saying, hey, he was their fifth-string cornerback, to be out there in a starting role or a main playing role and getting exposed, that's to be expected. But from a special teams perspective, I had plenty of people tell me, his special teams play just wasn't as good as what it was a year ago as well.
Well, they must be really bored. If
well, Brandon was a kicker at Rice, and now he sells for the station. So he gave me six responses on text message, each about a paragraph long.
Oh,
just
God.
In detail telling me why he had watched and Charles James had fallen off the planet special teams-wise.
I don't
know. Says more about Brandon than it is about Charles James.
Boy, I'm telling you, I just don't care that much about, you know, gunner techniques or whatever he was watching. I just, all right, whatever. I mean, I watched the, you know, now if they give up a big play, you want to see why and what was affected. But
right.
Playing every punt, I'm not breaking that down. No way. I got more important things
to
do.
The only thing that comes to mind with him was a couple games going on. I think it was the Vikings game when they got off to the bad start. And it was a fumble on one side on one of the returns. And then he face masked on the Vikings trying to make a return. And it was like a whammy on both sides. That's the only thing I can say stands out to me from Charles James from a special teams perspective. But to your point, I haven't got into it that ferociously to break it down like that.
We got a text where somebody said, this was back when we were talking about the Pittsburgh-style steaks, you know. Somebody said, you guys got to order the bone-in pork chop one day. I thought every pork chop had a bone in it. Is that not the case?
You sure that's not Dr. Dre playing with you again about bone-in?
I don't know. Bone-in pork chop. No, it's not Dre's number. I recognize that.
You pretty much got to memorize that one.
Oh, yeah. Especially because this weekend, all props to El Jefe.
Yeah.
On Sunday, during our, you know, we have the fantasy guy on Thursdays here.
Who was getting some props for making some good picks for
2:30 on Sunday during our fantasy segment. Shock got. El Jefe texted in two characters from Family Guy for starter sit. And he read them. And Sigmund was like, I guess I'm on the wrong show because I don't know who the hell those players are. And then we broke down and figured out that it was El Jefe. He took credit for it. So it was not Dr. Dre on 290, who is notorious for doing that to us. So you have to be careful. So, yeah. But that's why now I check and make sure. I know the last four digits of his number. So, no, this was not it. But I thought for the most part every pork chop had a bone in it. Is that not true?
I think you're right.
Most of them do, right?
Whenever my mom made them as a kid, they do.
We're getting confirmation from the experts here at Saltgrass, but that would that's what I always thought too. Now I know that there's a bone-in ribeye, which most ribeyes don't have a bone-in, but when you get the bone-in ribeye, it's usually bigger,
has more flavor
because it's closer to the bone. So now that I did know. Somebody asked a question, and I don't know how much draft prep you've done yet, so I don't know if you want to speak to it, but I did a little bit, and somebody said, are there any good quarterbacks coming up in the NFL draft? And I think they asked, obviously, because earlier we were talking about Brock. And I think the short answer is no.
I don't really think
there's any quarterback. There's no franchise quarterbacks to me. Now,
Baker Mayfield's going to come out, probably.
You might find another Dak Prescott in the fourth round, but to say that anyone that says they pinpointed Dak Prescott is probably
our guy, Billy Washington.
I was going to say, other than
Billy D.
We spent some time together this past week, as a matter of fact, and Billy D, we talked a lot of sports. We talked about a lot of things.
We need to
get him on the show.
Yeah,
one
we
day.
Should. I've seen that.
Especially since we both know him, but we need to get him on the show. But he literally, he and Merrill Hodge, I think, were the only guys to have ever said anything about Dak from the get-go. And so, yeah, I think just about everybody else missed on that. And so I don't think that there's a guy that you look at that stands out.
You think Deshaun Watson's got a shot?
I don't think – not to be a franchise-level quarterback. There's talk of the Trubisky kid from North Carolina. I don't know that – he doesn't – I mean, I don't think any of these guys are franchise-level. But that's just
– I mean, you look at it and I say, well, you know, Baker Mayfield, he was a finalist for the Heisman. But you know what? He was up and down. As good as he played against West Virginia, he played horrible, you know, against Houston and other teams that were big games. So I don't think that anybody's going to say, oh, he's must draft top three.
No, and when you see guys like Mel Kiper say – it's possible that no quarterback goes in the first round. That tells you all you need to know. Now, granted, I don't put a lot of stock in what Kiper says when it comes to the draft board itself, but just the fact that he doesn't feel like there's the fact that there could be, no quarterbacks taken in the first round says a lot about this draft class. So I hope that answers the question to some degree. I haven't gone
over. Mel Kiper though for game show host hair.
He's pretty solid.
If he gives you tips there,
Him. Okay. I'll remember
he
that.
He is the Wink Martindale of NFLX insiders.
Is he?
Oh, just that hair alone.
Yeah. I like it. What else? Oh, somebody, when we were talking U of H, texted in and said that, you know, U of H, they may not want to be a stepping stone school, but they sure are paying stepping stone money. And I think that's a really valid point. Like you said earlier when we talked about Applewhite and that contract, I think, you know, it's quite a bit less. And so, yeah, you're paying for what you're getting with a guy with no head coaching experience. But that money that they're even paying, you know, to that they were offering Herman, it's I don't think that they're competing with some of these
top
schools.
Interesting was there's an article out there that says Tillman was willing to match the money that UT offered Herman. But as we talked about previously, when it's your dream job, it's not just about the money.
No.
It's about that opportunity that you've always wanted, that you've targeted, that's now finally there, and you're just going to take it.
And not only that, but Applegate is a guy you're supposed to pay stepping stone money to.
Is that like, Christina's brother?
True. Yeah,
you only pay
Applegate, like Christina Applegate, Nick, or is it Applewhite?
I know
Applewhite, but I'm just saying that that he got stepping stone money because that's all he's worth.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's his first head coaching gig, right?
I agree. Yeah.
And because of a little bump in the road, that was more than a bump, but okay. So for a lot of things stacking up, they went back and got back a lot of the money that they were overspending on when they were trying to keep a Tom Herman after the initial contract too. So if you are going to be a stepping stone, a puddle jumper, however you want to talk about it, right? But if you're going to be that job or you're worried about being that job, you got a guy that's going to establish himself while being the coach of your team, which may mean he stays an extra couple of years. And if he has success, more props to you, right? Because you look at the guy at Western Michigan, he had every chance to leave this year in the perfect setup and didn't get an offer. So they're saying he's going to be one more year. But the problem on the flip side is, what happens if it just doesn't line up for him next year?
That's the scary thing.
And he struggles. Now you're really...
And that's the risk.
You let one get away.
That's the risk that you run by waiting. And, again, I think that was Kiffin's issue is out of a job at Alabama, if you don't take something soon, like he took the Florida Atlantic job, if you don't take that, then what are you going to be? You're going to be an OC somewhere else next year, and you may not want to do that.
I wonder if the control freak that is Nick Saban didn't play that perfectly by saying, I don't want you talking to other teams while we're still in the hunt and in the mix. You can do this after the fact. And in the meantime, everybody else got their coaches, and by the time that – he would have a chance to talk to teams. They already got what they were doing for next year because of recruiting and everything else, and he screwed him without screwing him, so to speak.
Could be. He's not known to be a super swell guy.
And by the way, Jeremy May is tweeting, as I was expecting this coming out of the Giants game, after the last few games, I'm not sure Dak is a franchise guy either.
Stop it.
Oh, the doubters are coming for
Jeremy,
Cowboy fans.
Stop it. Andy Jacobs said that a pork cutlet has no bone. And a pork chop has a bone.
Oh.
So to say the bone in pork chop would be redundant, apparently.
And Eric also said there are many a boneless pork chop.
Yeah, but that's not a pork chop, that's a pork cutlet. I'm gonna guess Andy Jacobs is some sort of meat aficionado. I have no idea. I'm just rolling with what he said.
The way you and Andres over here went off the charts on your meat evaluation earlier, I'm just gonna leave that to you, the expert.
Did we?
Yeah.
How so?
Just breaking it down, like the steak and the levels and the listings.
Oh,
the blood and
like how to cook a steak.
Yeah, not the other meat, Barry.
No, I know what you were talking about.
Yeah, you guys are even bringing up like pictures on your phone of the different levels and.
Yeah,
I don't need to see it again. I know. I'm very well versed with it the first time.
He wanted to show you again. He wanted to remind you that you're eating your steak wrong one more time.
Hey, where's our boy Scott when you start talking about U of H and all this? I wonder what his take on all this.
Yeah, we haven't heard from
Scott from Deer Park. Hasn't given us his take on did they get the right guy.
I miss you, man.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Scott in a while. I'm a little concerned. Scott, please check in with us. Just drop us a tweet to let us know you're okay, because we can't.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he drowned himself in food after Herman left.
See. That just was out of bounds.
A tub
that
of
was
gravy.
That was not necessary. That
Why?
Was, that was mean-spirited. Scott,
Scott's
we miss you.
Scott's a big dude.
I'm very aware of
hey,
that.
Hey, I freely admitted in hour one that I eat my feelings
but
after
you're on
a bad
salads
show.
Today.
Yeah.
And this week.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, I eat my feelings.
Do
There's
one
no
to
shame
others.
In that.
Do unto others as you're doing unto you this week. Be
okay.
Nice to Scott.
All right.
Scott, we want to hear from you. Whether you tweet us or just shout us out, we want to know that you're okay. We got one segment to go. It's been a fun show. We had the Quentin Demp show all first hour, and it's been Barry and I till 4 with one segment to go here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry for one more segment till we turn it over to Fred and AJ and the Blitz. We've been here at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Howard took great care of us today here at 59 Feeder Road and Highway 99. Andreas has been fantastic as always. Whenever we do a remote trailer, wheel, and frame, Saltgrass Steakhouses always takes good care of us, make sure we're on the air. And, of course, Nick back at the studio keeping it real. And by the way, it was great to hear Nick's voice today. I was worried we weren't going to hear from him. And then like a doorbell, not the one on the road, Barry, he chimes in and gets involved.
Yeah,
Nick, are you not a little worried about your U of H guy? I'm worried about Scott in Deer Park.
Yeah, because how long, it's Scott in Deer Park. Oh, I thought you were talking about the new head coach. But yeah.
No. I'm worried about Scott in Deer Park because he's almost like second to El Jefe in how much he chimes in like a doorbell normally.
But I think Scott in Deer Park has kind of disappeared before, and then he's kind of come back strong and called in. And
right about now, Barry, is where you interject with, it's hard to make him disappear at any time.
No, oh. I'm not focused. I'm kind of hung up on this whole bone in, bone out pork chop
I bet
thing.
You are.
And I spent my whole time at the break doing research. I really, like, now I know if there was a book on pork chops, I would probably read that book.
Well, why don't you enlighten the audience?
Well, I found this thing. First of all, there's apparently a book called The Complete Guide to Pork Chops, which. If you're looking to get me a gift, don't give me. Actually, you could. I don't care. But there's I read this thing real quick on. It says note that the rib chops are also sold boneless. That in fact, most boneless pork chops you'll find are cut from the rib chop. Did not know that. Center cut chops. These chops can be identified by the bone that divides the loin meat from the tenderloin muscle.
Mm.
It's riveting. It's fascinating.
Without question, I am like. I can't wait to get home and see if I can get to the store and get some pork chops.
I'm not going to say it's like porn for me.
Jeez.
But
that's taking it to way to another level.
But, yeah, I could talk food all day. Not going to lie.
Even on a salad week?
Yeah, That's probably why I could reading about pork chops on a salad week.
You think you're just going to all of a sudden have that weak moment where you jump back off the bandwagon tonight at 11 o'clock?
No, it's like, you miss it. Like, I'm like, I had salad. So I didn't have it for breakfast because I'm not going to eat a salad for breakfast. But I had it for lunch and for dinner yesterday, and I'll have it for lunch and dinner today. So it's kind of like, you miss it.
So you're a gerbil or a rabbit.
Pretty much. It's sad, but you know what? When you let yourself go, I was venturing out of strong safety mode and more into nose tackle.
D lineman.
Yeah, I got Gasol boobs, so I can't. You gotta
moobs.
Yeah, you can't have those.
Like Felicia Mickelson.
Huh?
It's Phil's alter ego, and Phil has the
Felicia,
man boobs. Felicia Mickelson.
I got you.
Yeah. So well. Let's hope you.
Sorry, I know
let's
that,
hope you maintain the straight and narrow. We can get John Lucas on the phone. Maybe he can give you some tips between now and the end of the week.
Yeah,
to make sure you stay on the wagon.
I need more than just a week. Trust me.
Wow.
I need more than just a week to lose weight.
So what do you think about the upcoming week? Rockets have the Kings tomorrow night. Rockets have some winnable games coming up.
They do.
So there's some games that they take care of some business. Again, we're looking at that same kind of season the Sonics had a few years ago when they're one of their last years in Seattle, where they get off to such a hot start that they're almost guaranteed a top four seed and home floor advantage in the first round just because of the fact that there is from three down in the West, probably four down, and in the East probably from three down. There's just so much parity that a lot can happen, and because they're doing what they did 14 of the first 20 on the road, they could set themselves up where they get in a predicament that they can't screw up themselves between now and the end of the regular season if they keep doing what I said that they have never been able to do in the past that they've been doing recently, which is beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
They can screw this up. Don't sell them short.
Oh yeah,
that can be done. This is Houston, Texas, after all. Our sports franchises are known for screwing things up.
True.
So, yes, it can be done. But I do like what I see. You know, I'm looking at the front page of the Rockets team on ESPN, uh-huh. and you scroll down there, and one of the first things you see is Nene likes the chemistry on the Rockets. Those are the types of things you want to see. That's when you
getting back to the Gordon quote of last night.
When you see those things, when you hear Gordon after a win talking about we need to get better and this was a bad game for us and we need to go, we got a lot of things to work on. That's when you know you're dealing with a team that's playing well, that's playing together, and this you should be paying attention to.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and
because you didn't have that harmony and chemistry in years past,
no.
Particularly with Harden and Howard, and the fact that there was a line clearly drawn in the locker room in the sand. Who's are you team Dwight? Are you team James? And that splintered the team, and it really cost them when they needed to be together.
Yeah, I would say so. And you would know more than I, and maybe it's not a fair question to ask because you didn't get to spend a ton of time in the locker room, but who was Team Dwight? Are they still around, do you think?
For the most part, no. Team Dwight.
And you don't have to name names.
No, but Dwight was a different guy because Dwight being a veteran, mm-hmm. but because he acted like such a little kid, he was drawn to the Isaiah Cannon. I always go back to the video of him punching Isaiah Cannon in the grapes in the middle of a game and thinking, gotcha, it's funny. And Cannon's a guy trying to hang on to his job, trying to stay focused. And it's just, you know, the younger guys, Dwight was tight with Sam Decker. So that was one of his guys a little bit. But Dwight was more to the younger guys, whereas then you get the real veterans, the Brewers, the Arizas, who didn't want to be on either team because he wanted the whole team to be together. And it was just a struggle, and that's what's difficult. I'm with you. I love what Gordon said last night, and I really did perk up when I heard it because I was like, whoa, that's the first time I've heard guys on a Rockets team in the last 10 years step up and say, you know what? Yeah, we won, but we played terrible. We got a ton to work on, and at least we did win. That was huge to hear that.
Yeah.
That you haven't had in the past. So I'm very encouraged by that. The locker room is where it all starts and ends, and if you got your locker room in the right order, it can do a lot for your team. They didn't do it last year. It seems like they do it this year. And I definitely want to get to El Jefe's tweet because I think it's hilarious.
You saw me laugh about it?
Yeah, I laughed about it earlier, but you were in the mid-sentence. I couldn't bring it up.
El Jefe tweets and says, Barry should host his own show on Friday called Food of Ages. I could do the commercials, and I would still probably be drunk. You ever had the meat sweats? You ever eaten so much meat that you get the meat sweats? No. Have you ever done that?
No.
So one time,
there's a story.
Yeah, there's a story. One time, I ate so many chicken wings, I got drunk off of chicken. Like, so we were in this. It was back when Man vs. Food was picking up steam, and a bunch of actually it was before that. Anyways, me and my buddies were doing like a food challenge, and we wanted to see who could eat the most wings. So we went to a wing place, and each of us ordered 50. All right.
Yep.
And you had to do it within an hour, and then first one to finish one. So I finished first. I finished off 50 in like 25 minutes. And then I ate 14 more of my buddy who said he couldn't finish. So I ate his last 14. So I ended up eating 64 wings in an hour. And
dude, you should be a frequent flyer.
Yeah. And I tell you, I have never been so miserable. I was actually, I'm not even kidding you when I say I felt drunk. Like I literally ate so much chicken that my head was swimming. And I couldn't, like, I didn't know where I was. It was the worst. It was the worst thing in the world. So, yeah.
Were you like the Cadbury egg? You just kept walking around going,
I was just like, I was so full. Like, every little bump in the car on the ride back to the office, I feel like I was going to, like, vomit and then pass out. It was the worst. All because of chicken wings. But it was a proud moment nonetheless. 64 wings is pretty strong. I couldn't do it now, but that was pretty strong then. But, yeah, so I could have my own Food of Ages show and then just do all my commercials drunk off chicken.
And there you have it. What a great way to wrap up the show. For a Tuesday, we're done here at Saltgrass Steakhouse. But we do want to remind you there's dinner specials from 4 to 6 out here at Saltgrass and Sugarland, and also all the Saltgrasses across Houston, Texas. For Andreas, for getting us on the air and keeping us there. For Quentin Dempsey, the Quentin Demp Show. For Barry Laminack and myself, Joel Blank, as well as Nick Chirara. Back at the studio, we want to thank you for listening and encourage you to do so every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5.
Stuck in my head again. Feels like I'll never leave this place. There's no escape.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.